Move in us today, Lord. We thank you for your word, but I'm asking for more than a word. I'm asking for a move of your spirit amongst us that will forever change us. Today, this day, let it be marked, Lord, in the spirit realm and in the earthly realm. Forever change us, forever mark us, forever set us off on a different way that is going to be amazing for you and your kingdom and amazing for us, because that's the generous God that you are. Yes, Lord, it's all for you, but in the all for you, we get more blessed than we could ever imagine. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your goodness, your generosity to us. We love you, Jesus. Just express some affection to the Lord, something real from your heart to his. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. Warm our hearts. Put your big hands around every heart and warm it. Warm it, Lord. Warm us. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can take your seats. Oh, thanks, team. That was amazing. Thank you, Lord. You're amazing. I'm getting warm physically up here. Thank you. Well, I've really, PJ and I, something's going on in us, and I don't even know how to put words to it, but I'm praying that what is happening in us is going to translate and is going to reach you and is going to move you in a way like you have never been moved before. That's our prayer. And, you know, we're being blessed by these sessions, these soul winner sessions that Andy's bringing on Wednesdays, and he's encouraging us really to identify our Jerusalem, you know, the people we live and work amongst, and reach them for Jesus, which is our great commission. You know, we can read about it in Matthew 28. But I just want to say, at the very end, the verses 19 and 20, at the very end, verse 20 is, after he's called his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, what you've taught, teach them. What you know, tell them. You know, what you've got, give them. But after that, there's a really important thing he says. And he says, remember, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Remember, I'm with you always. And that is such a vital, vital thing. And all through Scripture, when the Lord gives his people a kind of tough thing to do, a tough assignment, a challenging assignment, he says to them, remember, I'm with you. Remember Moses, I'm not going unless you're going. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Joshua, his amazing call to lead that amazing people through an amazing journey. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And we need to know that. Oh my goodness, like he's a human being right there. You feel him. You know he's with you. Because I tell you, if we go fishing on our own, we're going to be like the fishermen that fish all night and catch nothing. None of us want that. We've done that before and got discouraged. All of us, come on, let's be honest. And he's really wanting to meet people through us, you know, that people meet Jesus through us, his love, his wisdom, the power of his spirit. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to look at verse 4. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, all our good ideas and efforts. It wasn't that. It was the demonstration of the Spirit, his wisdom and his power. Now, I've got a fan up here, not for a physical reason, But what I believe the Lord is going to do today, which is... Oh, hang on. What he's wanting to do today in every single one of us, the kind of... I don't know where you are at, whether you would consider yourself as a smoking flax, a flickering flame, or an absolute blazing fire, but he is wanting to fan, at whatever stage you are at, he is wanting to fan in you the original flame he put in you when you were born again and baptized in the Spirit, and me, fan it into flame. Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed he will not break. He's so merciful and gracious, our Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Some of us are smoking, but not burning. We have the light in us, but the light's grown dim. We're not burning, we're not shining. PJ 2 weeks ago brought a scripture. Turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 35. I love this. I love it best in the Amplified. I'm going to give it you two ways. Sometimes it's good to read another translation. Kind of get more of the meaning out of it. John 5 verse 35. It's Jesus' description of his cousin, John the Baptist. I'll get there. He says this, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. The burning and shining lamp. It actually says in the Amplified, John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show you the way. John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining. Just remember those two words. Burning and shining, burning and shining. Think not of electric light, but of flame, burning and shining to show you the way. Keep your Bible open on that John 5, because we're going to read some more verses in a bit. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. Fire is bright, it's intense, and it's hot. Really simple description, isn't it? But we all are very familiar with the concept of fire. If you've ever been to a public bonfire display where they have these huge bonfires, you see it from a distance, don't you? You can't get near it because of the heat. You know, there's just this huge space around this huge fire. Nobody can go near because of the heat. It's intense. And it lights up the sky for miles around. The bigger it is, the hotter it is. The bigger it is, the brighter it is. Same with you and me. The amount of God activity in our lives, the brighter it is. Sorry, Lord, you're never in it. The brighter he is, the hotter he is. And frankly, none of us are as on fire as we could be. We're none of us burning as much as we could be. None of us shining as much as we could be. We're well taught. We're probably, well, we are one of the most well taught generations of church that there has ever been in church history. You can go online and listen to any preacher in any nation on any subject at the touch of a few buttons. We know a lot of stuff. We can all quote the scriptures. We've got the knowledge. Go to verse 39 of John 5. This is what Jesus said about religious people, though. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But verse 40, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And I believe my job this morning, my assignment, is to challenge all of us to get honest with ourselves. That unless we go to him and pour out our hearts before him, get real about our state, our condition. You know where you're at. The Lord knows where you're at. You know where you're at. We might be able to put on a show for other people, but he knows where we're really at, right? Everything's laid bare to the one to whom we will give account. But unless we do that and get real about our state, we won't receive his life. We really need the life of God more than anything else. I mean, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God. I mean, the will of God is more important to him than natural physical food. We're all well aware, you know, I need to eat. But it's that. We need to receive his life more than anything else, more than anything else in life, so that we're not just this smoking flax, not just the remains of what once was. Smith Wigglesworth says, and this is something I read years ago, it stuck with me and it's a good thing. I'm glad it stuck with me. He said, if you can remember a time in your own personal history where you were more on fire for God, you're backslidden. I mean, that hits, doesn't it? Grips me every time I remember that, and the Lord reminds me of that. If you can remember a time in your own personal history where you were more on fire for him than you are today, you're backslidden. Now, he can heal. I love the fact it talks about healing backslidden hearts. The Lord talks about healing because he sees it as a disease, actually, a backslidden state. It's like an illness. You need healing of it. Knowledge but no power, word but no spirit, knowing about him but not really knowing him in an experiential way. Now, I know about the Queen. You know about the Queen. We know she likes Scotland. She likes horses. She likes corgis. She likes hats. Has anyone met her? Maybe a few of you. I don't know. My mum and dad once went to a garden party. I don't know if they ever met her. We're certainly not in relationship with her. Of that, I can be pretty confident. And what the Lord is wanting to do in all our lives is pull us into these multiple encounters with him. Multiple encounters. Really that change us. So that we seek him and push past our flesh. You know, pray and don't let yourself off the hook too easily. Pray till you really start to express your heart. And pray until you hear his voice, because it's by his voice we live. Can't live by natural stuff, by the preceding word. It's the voice we need to listen to, isn't it? So to go back to this, the more we meet with him, the more that flame, that flickering flame, will grow. Until it starts to take over. When a fire is really going, and it can take time, can't it? But when a fire is really going, you try and stop it. You can't. There are wildfires, aren't there? There's been some in Australia not so long ago. And they just, poof, they go. That's what the Lord's wanting to do in us. A takeover, actually. He hates lukewarm. I know you know that. You're well read. You know the scriptures. But Revelation 3, he actually says, this always amazes me when I read it, I wish you were either hot or cold. I don't know if you've ever really thought that through, because I've kind of thought, well, surely you prefer lukewarm to cold. No, he'd rather you be cold. Because when you're lukewarm, or when we're lukewarm, we deceive ourselves. Oh, I'm still in church. I still listen to online church. I still go through the motions. Have my disciplines. But the scripture actually says, you think you're rich and wealthy and in need of nothing. Whereas actually, you don't realize you are poor and blind and miserable. What a state to be in. And we cool off for all sorts of reasons. The fire in us grows dim for all sorts of reasons. Life. Just the stuff of life. You know, the kind of busyness of life, the demands that other people put on us. And actually the demands that we put on ourselves often. Some of us, I think, are just spread too thin. I'll just put that out there. Hurt and disappointment. PJ was speaking about it last weekend. Hurt and disappointment can cause us just to back off and cool down and put up a defensive wall. And if you didn't hear the message last weekend, or if you only partly heard it, let me encourage you to listen to that one again. It was, I don't know what the title of it is, but it was all to do with processing pain well, so that you don't end up bitter and resentful. You know, kind of hurt and disappointment really is just one step away from bitterness and resentment. That's the devil's playground right there, and we need to avoid that. But if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to hear it, because we all go through tough times. We all go through challenging heartache. But how we go through matters, and how we come out matters. It really matters. It's another Smith Wigglesworth quote for you. But he says, the hardest circumstances in life can be the lifting places into the grace of God. I'm going to say that again. The hardest circumstances of life can then become the lifting places. Can, not always, depends how you handle it. Can become the lifting places into the grace of God. We can either go down with it, or we can turn to him and he will lift us in it and over it. Because he's wonderful. Isaiah 9, he's a wonderful counselor. And he's a mighty God. But so often we want the mighty God, but we're not listening to the wonderful counsel. Isn't that true? And we need to sit, listen to the wonderful counsel, step out in action and obedience to that wonderful counsel, and then doors wide open for the mighty God to move in, to lift you, to change. Glory to Jesus. God is able. Now, I'm going to take another drink here. Oh, Lord, in our weakness, be lifted up, hey. At the start of the pandemic, I've got quite a few bits and pieces here this morning. At the start of the pandemic, I picked up this book off my bookshelf. So back in March of last year. And it's a small book, but it didn't take me long to read. And I am happy to say many times this book brought me to my knees. Holy Spirit, I'm hungry for you. It's written by an Argentinian revivalist during one of the revivals that took place in, I think it was the early 1990s in Argentina. And he was just an ordinary guy. He was the pastor of a small church, but he just got so dissatisfied with church. Just normal, ticking over routine church. And day after day and night after night, he'd sink to his knees and pray, God, move me. Move me. Do something in me. Deliver me from the staleness and the dryness and the oldness, the coldness. Warm my heart again. And that really became my prayer as I read this book. And it's kind of been something that's working in me now for a year. And I realized as I read this book that only a revived church are really going to reach this world. Only a revived church are really going to reach the world effectively, because lukewarm religion has no pulling power. I mean, come on, we're not even that interested. Why should they be interested? It's dull, it's boring, it's irrelevant, isn't it? I mean, who needs that? Come on, I've got enough to do without that on a Sunday morning. Lukewarm religion has no pulling power. But I tell you, Jesus, he's the desire of the nations. They couldn't keep away, the crowds. He was so attractive, they were hanging on every word he said. They'd rather miss out on meal time and stayed to listen from early morning till sunset because he had the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? When I listen to you, my heart's beating. It's like I've become alive for the first time. I'm not suggesting we should delay reaching the world. I'm fully on board with Andy's soul winner. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but what I am saying is there needs to be a two-way reach going on, okay? To him, our Jesus, the only one who's really going to convict them and bring them to their knees, and then to them, the world. And actually, I kind of see it as a stretch like this. I'll explain. Because I want you to think, I'm going to need that slide in a minute, but I want you to think of yourself as a tree. So we're stretching because the roots are going down, searching for the water, searching for the life, and then reaching up to our neighbours, our work colleagues, our friends, our family, and reaching out, like the branches reaching out to them. If we can have the first slide, please. Now, that probably looks an odd picture to you. Andy, on Wednesday, he encouraged us to draw a circle, and in that circle, to put the names of every person that we knew, if we were honest, were kind of the ones that we're called to reach. You know, the ones that we live and work amongst and have some sort of relationship, even if it's kind of barely there, but something. There's some kind of contact with them during our normal week. Okay, now I'm pretty sure your circle didn't look like that. But this is what the Lord kind of helped me to see. They're apples, in case you hadn't figured it. I have 8 on mine. And what I am so convinced of, if we can have the next picture, that unless there's a power source... that commission is never going to be fulfilled. We're never going to get to pick that fruit. We might have some nice chats about Jesus, you know, an occasional, well, I'll pray for you. And that's all good. I'm not knocking that. I think it's amazing to even get to that, you know, just in the normal course of life to actually get a little bit of something of Jesus in. You know, well done, pats off, that's brilliant. But to be able to get further than that, we're going to need the power of God. Our roots need to be reaching for him. Because where there's the activity of the Holy Spirit, we will be able, oh, what a privilege to lead these people to the Lord. Come on, we need to dream about this stuff, not just in the far, far away, by and by, maybe one day, maybe wishful thinking, wishing and hoping. But start to imagine that person saying, well, how did you become a Christian then? What happened to you? You know, these kind of dream scenarios or dream questions that give you the inroad in. It's only going to happen if our roots are reaching for him. Because when our roots are reaching for him, he shows up on our faces. We actually look different, don't we? Our demeanor kind of thing. Our expressions, the tone of our voice, our behavior. We know this stuff. The thing is, we know so much, but we just need the real Jesus to live his life in and through us. Everybody you know needs to meet Jesus. You may be the only person in their life that would ever enable them to meet him. The link person, you know, between him and them. You may be the only one they will ever meet. And so it is a responsibility, actually. It shouldn't weigh heavy on us, but it should motivate us to go to him and say, okay, Lord, change me, fill me, do whatever you need to do in me so that when I chat with them, something, you know, like the two men on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus came alongside, they were charging off in the opposite direction, you know, but when Jesus met with them on that road and started to explain the scriptures to them, answer some of their questions, didn't they say, our hearts burned within us? You know, when people meet the real Jesus through you and me, something happens on the inside. It's more than just information they go away with. They've had some kind of encounter with the Savior of the world, the light of the world. Turn with me to Psalm 104. It's an unusual few verses, these, but I've just been looking at them and praying them a lot this week. I love these verses. It says, Psalm 104, verse 15. Wine that makes glad the heart of man. Oil to make his face shine. Bread which strengthens man's heart. And it goes on, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Wine, olive oil, bread. The three main staples of Israel's diet. They may be the three main staples of your diet. I don't know. They're quite a good combo. Wine, olive oil, and bread. But you know, this list is repeated a lot through the Old Testament because God is wanting to say to his people, you need all three. Not just bread and not just wine and oil. You know, if you just eat bread, it's dry, isn't it? You struggle to get it down. And if you just have wine and oil, you are not going to be in any fit state for anything. You know, you need the two. He's a wise God. But look at it. Glad hearts. Wine that makes the heart glad. Glad hearts. Not because we're trying to be glad and not be sad. By the Spirit, a glad heart. Shining faces. How? Activity and life of the Spirit in us. Bread strengthening our hearts. Let the weak say, I am strong. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Full of his life. Full of his life. Full of his life. We all know we should look and sound different. We know that's his plan. But it's not down to us busting a gut and self-effort to paint on a smile. It's him smiling through us. Because we've reached for him and found him. And we've got to start where we're at, you know. You know where you're at. Only you know where you're at. With the Lord. You and the Lord. Naturally, if you don't eat, you get hungry. Right? The opposite is true spiritually. You have to eat. You have to eat to get hungry. You have to drink to get thirsty. I just encourage you, go through the Gospels and Acts. Learn from Jesus, the teaching on the kingdom. Learn from the early church how the Holy Spirit worked through them, how they cooperated with him. And also, I just want to put this out there. Read the greats of history. You know, the revivalists, Wesley, Finney, Maria Woodworth Etter, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Coleman, Smith Wigglesworth, George Muller, the greats, these men and women of God, they had a supernatural lifestyle that was world-changing. And I tell you, if you need to grow your appetite a bit, get hold of some books and start to read. Start to read what was possible in their day. I mean, it actually really happened. People brought to their knees. PJ's reading George Muller at the minute. I'm just finishing Maria Woodworth Etter. It's phenomenal what happened through these people's lives. I mean, she stood there. Maria Woodworth Etter, she went to the darkest places. I'm talking about the scariest places. Devil's Den was the name of one of them. And people were scared to go there. The police were scared to go there. But she set up a tent. Here's her faith. For 8,000 people. Not a small tent. She had 20 the first night. It's a challenge. to your faith, but she wouldn't stop. They threatened her. They threw stones. They were armed with daggers and guns. This is back in, well, she died in 1824, so prior to that. Not so long ago, though. You know, and they threatened her. They threatened to kill her. And she stood there as bold as anything, and she said, if you attempt to kill me, my God will strike you down first. Right? Now, that's boldness, but she had it. She had it. And I tell you what, they started to respect her. They took off their hats when she walked past them in the street. But God moved in weird ways in her meeting. People would go into kind of trances. They would have visions of the Lord. And I'm not talking, not all of them were Christian at this point. Non-Christians who went to mock, who were skeptical and sit in the back and heckle. They had a vision of Jesus that caused them to either be slain in the spirit or sink to their knees. Or in some cases, they became like statues. They couldn't move. And I mean for hours. Some of them even for days. Days. One woman became a statue for 7 days. But when she came to, she was completely healed. I don't know what was wrong with her, but she was completely healed from head to toe. Unbelievers, same thing happened. My gosh, they got saved after that. They couldn't deny God's real. But we got to stir our appetite and our thirst for God, because my prayer is, and I know PJ's prayer is, why not us, Lord? Why not here? Why not in our time, in our lifetime, in our day? We're running a relay, church. We've been handed a baton from some of these greats. What are we going to do on our stretch? Oh, well, we did this, we did that. I'm not knocking the stuff we do. Praise God for the opportunities we get. But there's so much more. So much more. Our God is the same yesterday and today and forever. But Lord, show yourself strong. Do what only you can do. I'm going to finish with this, and it's a happy testimony, really. As this kind of passion is growing in me for him, my appetite for him, what I've noticed is my passion for people is growing. I'm so grateful, because in honesty, I'd kind of describe myself, all my Christian life I've been happy to witness, love of God, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, patient, kind, all these things that kind of hopefully people notice and say, you know, make the connection, yes, she's a nice person. Well, actually, she's a Christian, you know. All good, all good. But quite honestly, I've been a bit of a reluctant evangelist, because I kind of have this attitude, they don't really want to hear. They don't really want to hear about Jesus, and it's kind of a bit embarrassing. I've got to shoehorn Jesus in. I want to, Lord, because I believe you're real. I know heaven and hell are real, but it's just so hard. It's like trying to get on a busy roundabout, isn't it? It's like, just how to get in, how to get in with Jesus, and you feel the pressure, and it's all a bit much. But what's happened to me, this is a happy testimony, through this time, is I start to really, really want to speak about Jesus. Like, really. You know, I've had a few opportunities where I live, and it's just great because people are starting to open up about the stuff of their lives to me. You know, you've got to start somewhere with people, haven't you? But it's amazing. The kind of personal details that people are prepared to spill out on the pavement, it's like, oh, okay, you know, and you can pray into that. But I met this one old man called Fred. He's 89, and he's just cute, if I can put it that way. He's just lovely. I was trying to figure out, is he like my dad or my granddad? I don't know. He's kind of somewhere in between. But he's just little, and he just started, it was Reg started the conversation going, my dog. He refused to walk along this country lane. He just stood there, honestly, he stood there stubborn as anything. I'm like calling him, cloth ears, no, will not, just stood there, like the angel of the Lord at the end of the lane. And Fred was approaching from behind, right? I could see him, I'd seen him a few times, and I've thought to myself, what a lovely looking old man. Left it there. Anyway, so Red refused to walk, and in the end I had to go back for him, by which time Fred had caught up, and I had to do the whole walk with Fred. He spilled out his story. He told me all about his life, all about his children who are all over the world. One daughter lives in Cornwall, visits him every week. His medical history and all sorts of stuff. And I said, I don't often say this. Normally I'll just kind of say, I'm a Christian, you know. But I sometimes with older people, I think it helps to say, well, actually, I'm a minister. They're kind of all like, you really do know what you're talking about. Do you know what I mean? So I told him, well, actually, Fred, I work in a church and I minister. Do you, my dear? He said, oh, how nice. Well, I said, do you have a faith, Fred? Well, he said, I used to, but I've not done much with it. I said, oh, well, why is that then? Well, I heard some rogues, he said. Heard some rogue preachers, and it put me off. I said, well, it put me off as well. I said, well, we're not like that. You might think we're a bit of an odd church. We're one of those happy, clappy ones, you know? And he, big smile. He said, well, at least you're happy. I said, that's right. Anyway, we carried on talking, and then literally the heavens opened, and this hail, like big hail, started to come down. And he said, oh, I was going to show you where I live. I was going to show you where I live. It was thinking about it since, I've just thought, that's amazing, really. He wants to carry on this conversation. I just live in a little bungalow on my own, but I wanted to show. And he said, but not today, not today. Puts his cap on. You get home, my dear, before you get even more cold. Off we went. But I've prayed that I will lead Fred to the Lord. But it was like my heart for him, what I felt, it was the love of another. If I can put it like that. It wasn't my heart. It was another person. I felt so much the compassion and kindness of Jesus. He said to me, I hope I live to my 90th birthday. I'll be 90 in September. I said, Fred, I bet you will. Thinking, and I'm going to lead you to the Lord before, because I'm praying. I'm praying I will. Come on, in Jesus' name. And there are people like this all over, aren't there? You know, but it's his heart. Lord, help me feel. I have to say it was a feeling. I felt the big heart of God for this old man. The heart of another. And PJ used a phrase last week. I think it was last week. It might have been the week before. He put his love in my heart. It was last week, about your dad. He put his love in my heart. Don't we need that? Put your love in our hearts, Lord. Let's stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Oh, John the Baptist was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show the way. Lord, whatever state we are in, whatever state our heart is in, you know, fan us into flame. Lord, we pray. Please just pray. Because my prayer God hears, but what's more important is your prayer to the Lord. Just pray that he will fan into flame, whether you're a smoking flax, a flickering flame, or whether you believe that there's a strong fire in you for Jesus already. More. Just pray for the more. More, Lord. Work in us a passion. Deliver us, Lord, from just this should do, could do, ought to. Deliver us from ought to, Lord. Put your passion in us again for you first, but also for people that we live around and work amongst. Oh, Lord, we want to make ourselves available. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. I find it so helpful to pray the Lord's Prayer. Kingdom come in my head, in my thoughts, in my heart. Kingdom ways, your will be done, your will be done, Lord. Just pray from top to bottom. Kingdom of God come in my head, in my mouth, in my heart, in my stubborn, resistant will. Oh, kingdom of God come, will of God be done, work in us, Lord. The hard places, the resistant places. Oh, rain down your spirit, Lord, and soften this ground. Soften the ground of our hearts, Lord, we pray. Please pray. Cry out to God for yourself. Jesus, Jesus, we're calling on you, Lord. Do what only you can do. Do what you've done in every generation and turn the heart of your church, your people, back to you so that we love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, Lord. Do that. Do that, Lord. Do that, Lord. Do that, Lord. And Lord, the kind of the tough issues of life. I just want to tell you something. I had a vision when I was preparing yesterday, actually, of a roasting tin. You know, the sort of roasting tin that you do your chicken or your beef, whatever, in. And stuff gets baked on, doesn't it? It gets so hard. It's like, is that thing ever coming off? It's like enameled to the side and the base. And the Lord just said, you need to soak it. You work so hard trying to scratch it off and scrape it off, you end up damaging the tin. Just soak it. I was going to say some of us, not some of us, all of us need to soak in the presence of God. I mean, get worship on and just get real with Jesus. And let him soak those things off, those hard, resistant things, those issues that you thought would never change, tough things in life, soak. Soak in the presence of God and let him soften. He can change us. What a merciful thing. He can give us the hunger back. He can give us the passion back. He can give us the fire back. Come, Lord Jesus. Take your place. I'm going to invite the team to come. I just want to read a few verses of scripture and we're going to worship the Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're amazing. You're more amazing than we know, but we want to see you. We want to see the stuff we've heard about, read about, been told about. We want to see it in our day, in our time. Let God be God. Jesus, be Lord. Be really Lord in our lives. I give you permission to be Lord in my life. Come, Lord Jesus, take your place. If you could just start to play, Ash, that'd be brilliant. I'm going to read from Matthew 11 in the Amplified. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. So often it can feel like so many things to do and say, can't it? This commission, so many things to do and say. But this is a unique Father-Son operation. Coming out of a Father and Son, intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does. Nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who's listening, willing to listen. We're all sons of God. All of us. That unique Father-Son relationship he wants with every one of us. Hearing him. Knowing him. How he'd say it. What he'd say. Because you've heard him speak it already. No one knows the Son but the Father and the Father the Son, but I'm willing to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. Come to me. It's the cry of the Spirit. Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's a word from Jesus to you. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So many of us have a push from behind, a drive to do so much. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Freely and lightly. That's the plan of our gracious Savior, Redeemer, Strong Deliverer, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We honor you, Jesus. Oh Lord, what you've started in us this morning, I ask you to continue. But Lord, like an avalanche that starts at the top of the mountain and starts small, we pray that you will gain pace and gain momentum in our lives, take up more and more and more and more until we're so overwhelmed and overcome with you that you're the only one that matters. Really, Jesus. Oh, let's worship in church. We praise you. We praise you as the same yesterday, today, and forever. We give you the praise that you're worthy of, Lord. But Lord, open our eyes to see how worthy you are. Worthy of everything, Lord. Worthy of everything that we can offer. In Jesus' name, let's sing his praise again, church. We worship you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you have done in us this morning. We praise you that you are enabling that stiffness to be removed from our lives, that setness, that concrete kind of behavior that isn't able to shift with you. But Lord, we give you freedom, free reign to come and move us through your Spirit, that we will be that wineskin that will be flexible, moving with you throughout this week. Move us with your heart. Move us with your power. Move us to pray for people. Move us, Lord, with the Great Commission. Come, Holy Spirit, move us to love one another, to serve, to bless in every aspect, Lord. Come and fill your temple with your glory, our lives with your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. God is restoring a movement to his people. It's the move of his Spirit. And God is saying, for everyone who is willing, I will give drink from my river of delights. Whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink, and I will give him enough water that will then multiply. Out of your life will flow rivers of living water. A movement of God. The activity of the Holy Spirit. Ah, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We honor you. As the only one who can fulfill the Great Commission through us. Come and take over, Lord. Come and take over our worship. Come and take over our life together, a community, the fellowship that we share together. Come and take over our relationships. Come and take over our working lives, our online behavior, the things that we do, Lord. Come and be Lord. Come and invade us. Come and take over. We give you freedom and permission, Lord, to come in and take over, to do the same works as Jesus and greater still, to come and see a demonstration, a movement of the Spirit in our workplaces, with our friends and our family. Yes, Lord, thank you for words of knowledge. Thank you for the activity of your Spirit this week as we go out, Lord. Thank you that you will move through us, Lord. You will love through us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, as it's happened spiritually this morning, I believe that I had a vision earlier on this week, and the Lord's reminding me of that vision of stiff joints. Now, I believe there's going to be an unstiffening of the church, us, the body, you as an individual, as the Spirit is allowed to move and God is able to use your life in the way He wants, according to truth, according to His Word. I believe that there's going to be more flexibility. You know, we say we'll do this, but we won't do that. Well, that's called stiff. That's called stiff. That's my program, and this is what I always do. And the Lord says, just, you know, blank sheet, let me take over. Because they're the ones I'm going to use. Those devoted people to my will, they're the ones I'm going to fill. But I also believe that there's healing today for someone who's got a stiffness in their joints. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody with a stiffness in the joint, because the Lord loves to heal His people. Not just of the spiritual stiffness, but of a physical stiffness. And I'm just going to speak out that word. The Lord has said He's going to heal. I had a vision this week. So Lord, whoever this is, could you just lift, reach out to the Lord? You got a stiffness in your joints, your ankle, your knee. In the name of Jesus, Father, oh, thank you, Lord. There's loads of people with that, responding to that word. Lord, oil them up. That's what the vision, when I had that vision, you said, speak, oil them up. And Lord, oil them up right now. I'm saying what you gave me to say. Oil us up. Oil up your body. So that physically, that knee, in the name of Jesus, just move that knee, move that ankle in faith and say, thank you, Lord, for the oil, for the healing balm, the name of Jesus that actually restores my joints so that I can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, not stumble around like someone whose joints don't work. In the name of Jesus, thank you for this. It's happening now. The Holy Spirit is moving. He is oiling the body for movement. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank Him for this miracle. If that was you, you received that word this morning, thank Him for it. And walk out thanking Him. That as His word has gone forth, no word returns empty, but has power to fulfill what it's been sent to do. God has sent that word out. Instant healings and progressive will happen. Is there an instant suddenly you can feel a complete change in your joint? Is there somebody that's moving differently? Yes, 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 yes. I believe it. Yeah, you have to practice it to see. Yeah. Keep going. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. The word's gone out. He's oiling you up. As you walk out, say, He's oiling me up. Every time you feel resistance to the word, say, He's oiling me up. What a wonderful word this morning from the Lord. What wonderful ministry and time we've had together. Online family, we love you very much. Book in next week. We'd love to see your face, obviously within the context of those the guidelines online. And next week we've got families joining us, kids under five. We've had we've had Ruth and James's little boy with us today, which is just a delight, Timothy. So next week there should be a few more under fives downstairs. They'll be gathering. And we're just coming back. But more than that, we're coming back to the life and power of the Holy Spirit and the Great Commission. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Andrea. And bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.